She texted me today.
Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go.
Was that some intro music?
Yeah. I could be being slow.
Oh, okay.
High sound coming from the speakers. How about no sound?
You broke it.
All right, well, I know what's going on with the starting music. So I'm just going to skip it. This is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
This is the Tornado, Tony Pennycow.
And we have another edition of the Foot News Unlimited Combat Sports Show coming at you, even though the playlist doesn't want to cooperate there.
Question. What was going to be your intro song tonight?
It was just going to be an instrument. Until Buckethead by Jordan.
Oh, because I would have sang something.
Yeah. So you could sing anything.
Nice.
My way. Go for it.
Nice. I did it my way.
Actually, we should probably have some Irish music because we were on tonight with a guy who's
we got the Celtic Warrior, that's right.
Yeah, Celtic Warrior. We should be playing some Irish step dance tunes or something.
Yeah, right.
But, Bobby
Gunn. I was going to play some bagpipes, but that's Irish. I mean, Scottish.
Oh, sorry.
I said play some bagpipes, but that's Scottish. Oh. I'm trying to think, you know, hold on, give me two seconds, hold on. Tornado is going to take care of everybody here. No, hold on. All my favorites.
Bobby Gunn, by the way, is a professional boxer turned bare knuckle brawler who's going to tell us all about his championship. The world champion bare knuckle boxer brawler, whatever you want to call it. He's trying to get a fight, I think, overseas somewhere. On an island or something, Denmark, I think I read. Or I
oh, really?
With an Irish guy who has some more experience with bare knuckle fighting. His last and only bare knuckle fight that I know of so far here in the United States actually was between him and a guy from mixed martial arts and who also had a little bit of boxing background. And he beat him and claimed the world title. And so now this guy that's Colin Mighty Quinn, I think is his name, out of Ireland, I think, or UK somewhere. He's going to fight him for this world title that he anointed himself with, really. But
I'm interested in asking him is some of the negative feedback that he's gotten, you know, with regards to this, you know, bare knuckle fighting. People are saying how it's, you know, a step in the wrong direction. It's barbaric. I can see their argument, obviously. If you have willing participants, if you have consenting adult willing participants, what else can you really do?
Right.
If you have a consenting adult that, you know, decides to go out to a bar, drink, you know, 18 margaritas and get behind the wheel of a car, that's illegal because he's endangering others. If you have two willing participants that are, you know, they want to, you know, engage in a bare knuckle fight and only people that can really be hurting her themselves? Well, you know, I don't know if I totally agree with it. I mean, we've taken so many steps, you know, improving the safety in boxing and combat sports, but once again, I mean, it's, you know, your decision. Not my decision.
Actually, if you watch a lot of reality TV, there's some shows on, I think, TLC about the gypsies, they call them, over in the UK, who it's rite of passage for them to get into these bare-knuckle fights. Usually in somebody's like fenced in backyard somewhere, from what I've seen. And this guy that Gunn's going to be fighting next isn't going to be so new to the sport as Rich Stewart, who was his first opponent here. And it says here in the article that I got the snippet from his PR people that it was America's first sanctioned bare knuckle bout in more than 120 years, but there was some buzz after the fight. He was in Arizona that questioned the legality of it. So that's why they're obviously not coming back to the United States. I think they ended up doing it on an Indian reservation to really be outside the jurisdiction of law enforcement in case something did go wrong. But they got it off. They had the fight. It's over, done with, and you know, it allowed Gunn to pretty much blaze a path, in the American media at least, to get people to pay attention to this sport that's really kind of a staple for some of these kids over in the UK. And it's a little bit different from MMA, of course. It's a lot different from boxing because you're not wrapping your knuckles at all. From what I read, the rules for the last fight, they allowed them to wrap the wrist and around the hand area, I guess around the thumb, but not anywhere above the knuckles or over the knuckles. So it's going to be a lot different than traditional boxing for anybody that's used to that. But for this guy, James the Mighty Quinn, who he's going to be facing in February of 2012, I think it's going to be a much more significant challenge for him. And we'll see if it catches on. You know, it's probably going to be a lot harder than he might have imagined at first to get it to catch on if he hopes to just continue with that and not go back to boxing and make it work. But, you know, if he can get people to tune in pay-per-view and fight all over the world and get it accepted again in certain locales in America, then maybe it'll be something that people are going to flock to. We'll have to talk to him about it, see what his goal is with it. But we're going to have him on in the 8:30 segment. We, of course, have a ton of UFC stuff to talk about because we have the Ultimate Fighter Show, number one. We have the fight this weekend, the UFC on Versus, I think, 6, UFC Live 6, they're calling it. We got to the UFC 135 event that just happened over the weekend. And, of course, there's a little Zions connection there because the main event fighter who won, John Bones Jones, is a Zions-sponsored fighter. And interestingly enough, he actually took his opponent down, I think in the second or third round, took Rampage Jackson down and brought him right next to the Zions logo. It's like Zions in stereo because there was Zions on his shorts and Zions on the mat. And I thought that was kind of funny. But Quentin Rampage Jackson went down in the fourth round. It was, I think, the first time he'd been stopped in just about forever. He got submitted by rear naked choke in the fourth round, and it was after Jones really dismantled him top to bottom. He used his dynamic striking, his reach, and good wrestling, and obviously some Brazilian jiu-jitsu with the choke. And just was hitting him with all kinds of different strikes, elbows, knees, kicks, punches, backflip kicks. No, none of that. Just about everything in his bag of tricks. And Quentin Jackson, ironically enough, he has followed the path of the other guys from Strikeforce over there who threatened to go into boxing. Says that when the UFC contract runs out now, he's going to go into boxing. I haven't read the article yet, but I noticed it was in the MMA links I think it's actually boxing links on the website. So it's on unlimitedfightnews.com/WordPress. You'll see the link there. And you can check it out. Shifting to a little boxing news, Matt Remillard, who had been undefeated and was a really big prospect, is now looking at some jail time. I don't know if you heard anything about this story, but it's pretty interesting. It's basically a story of him getting a little bit rowdy. I think in Providence, Rhode Island, he was with his brothers, and they ended up beating somebody or a group of people with baseball bats. And basically, Top Rank signed him earlier this year, and they knew he had an assault charge hanging over his head. The worst case scenario for Remillard is going to be approaching soon, I guess. He entered a plea of no contest to charges stemming from a fight in Marlborough on January 5th, 2010. At the time of his arrest in March 2010, Remillard was charged with breach of peace, first-degree criminal mischief, and second-degree assault. And he entered the no-contest plea to first-degree assault. And he's going to be sentenced on November 29th, and he could face a 5-year prison term. And they reached him for this article, but they didn't want to make any comment. Basically, there was a fight all with the last name Napolitano of Coventry, Rhode Island, were arrested and charged with first-degree criminal mischief. And there's Remillard was with him. He was 25 at the time. He was accused of using a baseball bat on Jordan Evans, who filed the charges in March of 2010. Evans says he suffered 2 skull fractures, multiple fractures to his left eye socket, and injuries to his left hand and wrist. He received 100 stitches on his head and had 30 screws in one plate inserted into his head. The affidavit also said Evans had double vision in his left eye and no feeling in his forehead. Evans and Remillard had both dated Danielle Napolitano. And Remillard was with her. And two Napolitano brothers, Adam and Richard Napolitano, when the fight broke out. So it was all over a girl, just totally cut somebody almost to death. And now this guy who used to be 23-0, and then he went up against a guy who was 24-0, the biggest fight of his career in March 2010. Actually, I think it was this year. It was Mickey Garcia in Atlantic City, and he lost a lopsided decision. So I don't know whether this fight had anything to do with his being despondent over the loss or whatever, but it's like once it starts going downhill, it goes fast. That's a pretty tough charge for him to face, and it's, you know, with injury like that, it's going to be very unlikely that he's going to escape some hard jail time. But not better than Mike Tyson did.
No.
I mean, that's kind of weird, too, for a boxer to get involved in a fight with a guy over a girl, and it's with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
The guy's a boxer.
It's a deadly enough weapon.
Right? A nearly undefeated boxer needs a baseball bat against a guy who there's no record of him being a boxer at all or a fighter of any kind. And no talk of any other weapon that he had that Remillard had to worry about. So that's a weird story that came across the news wire there. Another story, we're getting into a little bit of wrestling. WWE wrestler Kurt Angle's been in the news left and right lately. He hasn't wrestled for a while. He's talking about actually going to the Olympics next go-around for wrestling next year. He's going to try to make the Olympic team, but apparently now the news is out there that Dana White offered him a fight in the UFC, and he wanted him to fight Kimbo Slice. the trick was he only had 4 weeks to train for it, which would actually only have been 2 weeks to fully train and then 2 weeks to taper off. So he decided no way. He wanted to do MMA, but he would have liked you know, a few months worth of training before his first
fight. Right.
So basically, I guess that refusal to take that fight blew his chances. And that was the next available pay-per-view at the time, the union opponent for Kimbo. And it was about 4.5 weeks, and he said, I could have done it, but I wanted to be at my best. I didn't want to start training, almost be at my best, but not quite. No matter who it is, I knew I wanted to take them down and pound them, but I wanted to be 100% ready. I didn't want to just train for 4 weeks. So I don't know what that was all about, but White hasn't confirmed or denied the report. Another interesting report, UFC 136 is coming up. We got the UFC 5-6, where we'll talk about that rundown in a minute here, but UFC 136 is coming up, and apparently there's some drug testing controversy with a guy I actually saw a fight in person out in Iowa years ago, Dave Herman. And apparently he's had all kinds of issues with his blood samples, his testing samples for the UFC 136 fight. His first sample apparently got lost, so they called him in again for another test. He tests positive for marijuana and steroids. So he says never smoked marijuana and doesn't say anything about the steroids, but now he's obviously not fighting in UFC 136. But the funny thing about this whole story is that they're actually going to move up a fight from the preliminaries to the main card. That should have been on the main card anyway. It's the rematch between Nam Phan and Garcia, I think is his name. My computer's not cooperating to bring me to the story, as usual. But it's a rematch of a big fight between Nam Phan and a guy that he looked like he beat the first fight, and it was ruled for the other guy. But, give me a second, I'll tell you who that is. Come on. What is taking so long?
Well, you know, computers are great like that.
Yeah. All right, here it is. Leonard Garcia and Nam Phan. And Dave is nicknamed Pee Wee Herman. Dave Herman, guy that got busted. He says, I'm still trying to figure it out myself. Basically, they said, I failed my drug test. I went in to get my drug test. A week later, they called and said they lost my urine specimen, and I had to come back in and redo it. And I came back in, and they said, I failed it. It's impossible. And this guy is 21-2, 1-0 in the UFC. He says he doesn't smoke, hasn't had a beer in 2 months. And this is the Texas Department of Licensing and Regulation regulates MMA in Texas. And there actually has been some indications that when the UFC travels outside of Nevada, that's when most of these guys get popped for positive tests. And, of course, that's not really a smoking gun to say that Nevada is lax, but it's sort of an indicator anyway. I think, you know, the UFC is big in Nevada. That's where its base is. They moved Strike Force here to Nevada when they acquired Strike Force. So all the headquarters are here. The casinos are here that the Fertitta's own. So they obviously have some power in town. And it seems like these guys never get nailed when they're in Nevada. You know, even though they really pretty much only fight in one place in Nevada, which is Las Vegas. Maybe in the old days they fought somewhere else like Reno or another city in Nevada. So it's pretty much always in Vegas, too. So that adds to the layer of, you know, difficulty with these guys getting in any trouble for this kind of activity. And this is one of those guys that you don't expect to get nailed for it. There was a story not too long, a few weeks ago, by another guy who's ironically sponsored by Zions. I don't have his name offhand, but he had mentioned that like 85% of fighters in the MMA are using some kind of performance-enhancing drug. I don't know if one of those mimics marijuana. But apparently, you know, Dave Herman got caught toking or inhaling when he shouldn't have. UFC 136 is October 8th at the Toyota Center in Houston, so the week after this Saturday. And it's going to be preceded by the UFC Fan Expo, the 7th through the 8th. And the big fight on that card is going to be the rematch between lightweight champion Frankie Edgar and Ray Maynard. And a big time featherweight bout between Jose Aldo and Kenny Florian, Boston guy. So we're looking forward to that. But before that, we have this weekend another free card on Versus, which is somehow going to become NBC Sports something in a few weeks or months. I saw on their channel today something about that. They're changing their names. But the UFC is going to be in Washington, D.C. Saturday, October 1st, my birthday, live and free versus the UFC.
Oh, yeah, happy early birthday.
Be 34 and a half. No, 34. And the headliner fight on Saturday is going to be Dominic Cruz versus Demetrius Johnson for the bantamweight title. You've seen on Versus 6. And six fights. There's going to be four fights on the main card, six fights on the preliminary card. Preliminary cards, a lot of guys I really haven't heard much about, but the one fight that does stick out is Josh the Dentist Neer versus Keith Wisniewski. And I don't know about Keith Wisniewski, but Josh Neer has been around for a long, long time. And I got some fight in person on the same fight card that I was just talking about with Dave Herman was on down in Iowa when I got flown out there for some of the most amazing fights with the smallest audience watching I've ever seen. We also have on the preliminary for this UFC 6, Live 6, Wael Watson versus Joseph Sandoval, Shane Roller versus TJ Grant, Mike the Hulk Easton versus Byron Bloodworth, Michael the Menace Johnson, guy from Ultimate Fighter there, versus Paul Sass, Eve Edwards versus Raffaello Tractor Oliveira, and Edwards, you may remember, got knocked flat out on his back in his last fight. Off the top of my head, I can't think of the opponent, but I'm sure anybody who saw it knows what happened. The main card, we have four fights. Matt Handsome Wyman versus Mac Danzig. Anthony Rumble Johnson versus Charlie the Spaniard Brenneman. And Anthony Johnson, of course, we had as a former guest not too long ago. Last winter at some point. Pat H.D. Barry is to be fighting Stephen the Skyscraper Shrews. Guy's 7 foot tall and really lanky and has a lot of reach, but he's just got a weird fighting style. He seems to always get in trouble in his fights and then either pulls out the crazy victory or gets caught in something stupid. But Barry's a guy who's real stocky, short arms. And I think he's going to have a lot of trouble against Drew, but who knows, maybe he reinvented himself since his last fight or two. Dominic Cruz, as I said, is also going to be fighting Demetrius Johnson, nicknamed Mighty Mouse, in the main event, and that's it. Of course, last weekend we had UFC 135. As I mentioned, John Jones beat Quentin Jackson, and news is all over town about Jackson now wanting to go to boxing. Jones, of course, the talk is surrounding him that he's bound to be fighting Anderson Silva at some point, who is actually a weight class lower, but has been known to go up to 205 every now and then for a gimme fight, I guess you could call it, but hasn't contended for the 205 title yet, as far as I know. We had the co-main event was kind of a shocker. Josh Koscheck versus Matt Hughes. Matt Hughes has been around forever, big-time wrestler. And it looked like he had tried to develop more of a striking strategy with Koscheck and came out and boxed him for really almost the whole first 4.5 minutes or so of the first round. And then literally came down to the last second of the round. He was kind of fell over, and Koscheck jumped on top of him and let him have it, and that was it. It was over. Knocked him out. So more like a flash knockout, but it's knockout in MMA. We had a sort of a messy fight between Mark Hunt and Ben Rothwell that ended by a unanimous decision in favor of Mark Hunt, who's one of those guys who goes way, way back in MMA. He's been around really forever and just keeps making comebacks. So that's always a good story. Ben Rothwell, of course, is the guy who came from the IFL and really never had much competition until he came into the UFC. So it's not too surprising that he lost to Mark Hunt, but just a wild and crazy fight there. Travis Brown beat Rob Broughton by unanimous decision. We had Nate Diaz submitted Takanori Gomi by armbar. Tony Ferguson, the Ultimate Fighter winner, beat Aaron Riley by TKO due to a jaw injury at the end of the first. Tim Boach beat Nick Ring by unanimous decision. Junior Asenkeo versus Eddie Yagan ended in the decision. Asenkeo got the victory. And Takaya Mizugaki beat Cole Escovedo by TKO in the second round at the 4:30 mark. And the last fight was James Tahuna versus Ricardo Romero. Tahuna won by knockout in the first round at the 47-second mark. So that's it for that one. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really looked at too much of the boxing coming up, but we might have time in our second hour to...
I definitely want to talk about the Martinez fight. I want to look at the play card I'm going to tomorrow night. We really didn't have anything this past weekend, so...
Your new friend, the new promoter out there in Philly, is having a card soon, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to.
All right. And who's on the card?
Her directly, or did you communicate with her via email?
I communicated with her via email. She had mentioned that tonight, I think, is the weigh-ins for that.
I kind of figured tonight would be tough, just because it is the night for, a card, which makes it tough as it is. And not just that, it's the night before her first card. So.
Right. So it looks like we'll be having two guests next week if we can get your other buddy.
Because he texted me today, but I was at work. So
Philly locals. And so we'll get her on, and we'll get your boy. And we've got Bobby Gunn coming on in about 2 minutes here. We're going to call him and connect with him. I was just getting word. I haven't heard anything about the background here, but apparently tomorrow night on HDNet, we're going to find out why Vitor Belfort had to pull out of his recent fight versus Kung Lee that had been set up. It was pretty much just a few weeks ago, as far as I can remember, that this fight got announced. Ford will tell Kenny Rice and Boss Rutten when he can fight again and who he wants to fight once he's ready. So that's going to be interesting. Find out what's going on there. And who Kung Lee is actually going to fight now that his opponent is injured. I haven't heard anything on that front yet. But apparently we're going to find out a little something from Vitor's angle tomorrow night. Now, Bobby Gunn, as we mentioned, is a boxer turned bare-knuckle brawler. He was a cruiserweight fighter in his last few fights. I think pretty much his whole career, as far as I can see here. He was 182 and 156. He was 151 back in 1990. But his last fight, he's fought Thomas Adamick, for the IBF Cruiserweight title back in 2009, July 11th.
Yep, moved out.
And the fight was stopped between round 4 and 5 by the referee and the doctor.
No shame in that. Unitamac's a bad dude, you know?
Before that, he had had a few TKOs struck together in a row. 3 of them, to be exact. And he would have been on a 6-fight win streak, but he had a draw against Corey Phelps in the middle of that back in 2008. And he's just a bad dude. He's got a lot of good fights, a lot of guys with some really decent records. Knocked a few guys out. He's got 18 knockouts in his 21 wins, I should say. He's lost 4 fights and had 1 draw. So without further ado, let's give him a ring. And have him tell us about the new world of bare knuckle boxing. One second here, we'll get him on. Okay.
How are you doing?
Hello.
Can you hear me, sir?
Going on.
How about now?
I can hear you.
Hi, my pal. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Hello.
Rich, can you hear us?
Anyone?
Can you hear us? Are we all along, guys? I can hear you. Yep, I'm here.
What happened?
Okay. I can hear Bobby. I can hear Rich. Can anybody
Hello?
Hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, my pal. Thank you.
Hello.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. I think the other guy can't hear us. Can he?
I can't even hear Rich, but Bobby, what I'll
Tony.
Do is until... I can hear. Can you hear me, Rich?
All right. Let me turn it on, Nick. We lost everyone.
Are we back? Hello? Are we back?
Hello?
Hello?
No sound.
Rich, you're having a lot of problems tonight, aren't you?
Hello?
Hello?
I don't think I'm on mute. Hello?
Hey, folks, this is Rab Rouse and Rich Bergeron. We just got cut out there for a second. But the Skype system I'm using here is keeps trying to set me up for this update. So it's flashing the update even in the middle of using the system, and somehow that cut out our sound there for a second. So I apologize. Tony back.
Are we back?
We are back.
Okay.
So we're going to try to reconnect with Bobby Gunn there. What happened was I got the Skype system trying to update my programming here. And so it somehow cut out our outgoing sound coming out of the speakers. So I bet you guys could hear me.
I could hear you loud and clear. I think Bobby could hear me.
Oh, really? That's weird.
Yeah.
They couldn't
hear
me at all.
We're
going to reconnect with Bobby.
I'm ready.
If it wasn't for technical difficulties, we wouldn't have any difficulties at all.
That's right.
See if we can right this ship.
Hello.
Hey, Bobby.
Yes, my pal. How are you doing?
Pretty good. This is Ramble Rouse and Rich Bergeron from Fight News Unlimited. We had a little technical difficulties trying to connect with you there for a second, but
yes.
Got you now.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Tell us a little bit about this foray into bare-knuckle boxing. Is this going to be your permanent new career? What's going on with that?
Well, it looks like it's going pretty big. The first one was sanctioned 122 years. Last one was John O'Sullivan. We got it done August the 5th. And working on a few big things right now. I'm trying to work on fighting another fellow called James Quinn, who recently just got done filming a documentary movie about himself called Knuckle. There's a premiere tomorrow night in New York City of his movie, and we're in negotiations fighting him right now, probably in February. We haven't got the exact whereabouts and date locked down yet because we have three places we're talking to. Two of them will be in the United States of America, one probably in California, and the other one probably right back in Arizona.
All right. And I know there was a report that came out about after the last one that said that they were investigating the legality of it. Has anything come of that? Or?
Well, it's not, I mean, here's the deal. You know what I mean, Mattel? The fight was broadcasted to the world, and it was on ESPN 3 days before the fight. I mean, my picture was right next to Floyd Mayweather and Danny Pacquiao. I mean, it ain't like the world didn't know the fight was going down. I mean, the ABC knew it as well. What happened was, after the fight went down, and it was a success, it's an old saying, everybody wants to bet on the Super Bowl Monday morning. You know what I mean? After it was all done, it went down good, then they want to start doing their complaining. But if they really had anything to go about, why didn't they really jump in and try to stop it before it happened? You know what I'm saying to you?
Right.
There's nothing they could do. There's nothing legal about it. It was all done right. Rules, insurance, the medical staff, referees, it was sanctioned by the Indian Reservation. Because it is what it is. And I'd be honest with you, a lot of organizations don't really want this to come about because they feel it could be a threat.
Right. And what gave you the idea to kind of embrace this sport again? That's sort of in, I guess you could call it a dead sport for years, but I think it's been going on in different locales, just not here in America.
Well, it's going on all over. You know, I've been involved in it. I grew up in it all my life. You know, I fought over 60 fights in it. And to be honest with you, there's a 1,000 bare-knuckle fights that happen constantly. I mean, and there's... What I mean, there's proper bare-knuckle fights. Two guys fighting the referees. There's probably a million back-alley bum fights, street fights, but there is proper bare-knuckle fights. But there hasn't been a sanctioned one. You know, and to be honest with you, all the fights I had, I won all my fights. I lost a bare-knuckle fight, but they didn't really count, I think, because they weren't really sanctioned. Anybody can claim to be a champion, but unless it's sanctioned and recognized, you claim it. So that's why I pushed this matter very, very hard. Dave Filman, the fellow who promoted the fight, he had this dream of getting this too. We worked out really hard by that time. Thank God it come through, you know?
Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, I have a couple connections to John L. Sullivan. I used to live in Abington. That's where he retired and died with his father. Up in Massachusetts, and I actually grew up in a little suburb of Boston called Dorchester.
Oh, yes. That's a fighting community, man. Oh, you got a fighting spirit. I know that.
Hell yeah.
And, Bobby, one thing I was going to mention, when Rich was talking to me a few months ago, regarding the bare-knuckle fight when it was first going to happen, and he was mentioning that it was going to be you versus Rich Stewart, I was like, well, I'm like, well, these are two guys that obviously, you know, I've known, because I've, you know, followed some of your career, followed you online. I'm a fight guy. Rich will tell you this. He calls me the Rain Man of boxing because I have an obscure knowledge of way too many stats. And so I was like, of course I know Bobby Gunn. I know him, his fights with Adam Ack and, some of his other, climbing up the ladder. I have your box track page up now.
But also, I know Rich Stewart on a personal level.
He's a great guy. He's a great guy, man.
Oh, Rich is a fantastic guy. The one story I told our Rich a few years ago when I first started doing the show with him, I first met Richard Stewart at a fight card at the Blue Horizon. I'm a Philadelphia guy. I trained down in South Philly with some very good fighters down there. So I still, you know, go to a lot of local cards. I'm going to one tomorrow night. And so I was down at a fight called the Blue Horizon. And Richard, who was a heavy, short, stocky guy, and at the time he was still fighting heavyweight. He was about 210 pounds and, you know, wasn't, you know, cut to the bone. But he was, just a short, stocky guy. I had a little midsection. And he was fighting a guy that was much bigger. The guy caught him cold first round. Knocked him down, they stopped the fight. Now, a couple weeks prior, I'd been in a fight card, and Richard had won his fight against a fighter trained by one of my former trainers. So, I obviously knew that the guy had some skills. You know, he thought he'd beat a good guy. So, after this fight's over, there was a guy at the Blue Horizon. You know, I don't know if you've been there, but the balconies were so close to the ring. Fans were talking.
It was awesome.
It was a great place. I'm sad it's closed. Well, there was a couple fans, they were in business suits, they were kind of drunk, and they started heckling Rich Stewart, you know, about losing the fight, and you could see him getting agitated. And I remember I could hear him say it, pointing to the guy saying, "I'm coming up there." And I'm standing at the back of the balcony, and I'm hanging there, you know, talking to some friends and, you know, just enjoying the fight. I get a tap on the shoulder, and it's Richard Stewart. He's like, "Do you mind if I get by?" I'm like, So I'm like, "Come on, man, don't do it. Don't do this. I'm going to kick that guy ass." I'm like, come on, man. And as I'm trying to engage him in a fight talk, I'm like, "Oh, I saw you beat one of Reb Thompson's boys a few weeks ago. Reb's my old trainer." And I'm trying to turn him away from annihilating this guy. Well, his boy's with him. And his boy's like, "I'm going to go down there and say something." And Rich is like, no, this is my argument. And I'm like, "Come on, man, don't do it. Come on, man. You got caught cold. It happens. It happens to the best of us."
Yeah, exactly.
Well, his boy went down there and clocked the guy. So his boy's taking off, security chasing him, and Rich is telling, "You know Reb Thompson." I'm like, "You might want to get out of here. I'll catch you at the next card." And I saw him a couple months later at a card in Phoenixville, PA, and he knocked the boy out, and I pulled him up the side of the room afterwards. I'm like, "Hey, man." I'm like, "You don't remember me, do you?" He's like, "No, I don't." I'm like, "You had a little trouble at the Horizon back about 4 months ago?" He's like, "I didn't do anything." I'm like, "I know you didn't do anything. I'm the guy that stopped you from doing it." We'd be friends after that.
Man, he's a character. When I fought on my knuckle fight, I was originally scheduled to fight a fellow from South Africa called Chris Thompson, who's an MMA fighter. But I'm glad that I love the MMA. I think it's a great sport. But I'm glad the MMA guy did back up, and I fought Richard Stewart, who's a stand-up boxer, like a fist fighter, because.
But
if I would have beat the MMA guy, naturally the MMA world would have jumped on the bandwagon saying, "You know, the guy, he's a ground guy, he's a stand-up guy." Then they would have went that way. To be honest with you, I'm glad I fought Richard. But, you know, Richard's a nice guy, and he's known to have dealt with him in Philadelphia. He's well-known for having the street scraps. You know, he's a tough kid. His fight right after before me, he fought Rand McCash, 7 rounds. And Rand McCash went on to fight Marco Hunkata. Hard 12-round fight.
He's a tough fighter. I've covered him. Actually, talking about there's another fighter based out of now. You're from.
I was supposed to fight him 3 or 4 times. Randy Cash never come off.
You're from the East Coast too, right?
Yep.
Okay. So I thought there's a fighter out of Wildwood, New Jersey, Chuck Masaccio. Are you familiar with him?
I know and heard a lot of great things about him. I never had the pleasure of meeting him in person, but. He's a great guy.
Chuck is a kid that he is about 3 years younger than about 4 years younger than me, and he started his boxing career on the college circuit in the alma mater where I went, Lock Haven University. Mm-hmm. So I was on my way to graduating, and I had one semester to go, so I was like a student coach at the time. So being an Italian kid, they kind of put him under my wing. And he turned out to be doing very well now. I think he's something like 16-1 or something like that. Well, a couple of years ago, he was fighting Rich Stewart down at the arena in South Philly, and we got him on the show, and I'm like,
He's like, all right. He's like, all right, you, Tony, you were like my first coach back then. You were like my mentor. He's like, what can you tell me about the guy? And I said, just imagine me, and instead of a left hook, a right hand. I said, that's the only difference. I'm a left hook guy. He's a right hand bomber. I said, just pretend like you're going to fight me. And Chuck ended up beating him in that fight. But, I mean, he took some shots going on. Rich was, I like, said, you're right. He was like a street brawler with gloves on.
Yeah, that's what he is, man. You know, that's why I respected him a lot more than just, you know, a regular glove fight, because I knew in bare knuckles he's got a name for it, and I was informed about him. He's had so many street fights, that kid, you know, and he's a tough kid. He's a nice kid, too. I wish him the best, man. He's my friend, and I'll always be his friend. I always told him, you know, anything I can ever do for him, I'll be there for him. He's a nice kid.
Another question I'm going to ask you about another one of your former opponents, who you fought for a cruiserweight title, Thomas Adamack. Because being in the ring with him, he's obviously a very strong guy, takes a very good punch, very physical. Going into his fight with Klitschko, I mean, did you envision it the way that it turned out, or, I mean, did you think you would have had a better chance?
Well, you definitely understand something. When I fought him, he was the best 200-pound fighter in the world. You know, I mean, that's all I did about it. I fought him. Yeah, I mean, I fought him. It was for the Ring Magazine title. Never mind the idea. You know, very few fighters ever get a shot to fight for that title. Very few. It was an honor. I love him. He's my friend. I pray for him. I hope the guy does great. I don't think nobody can beat the Klitschkos. I think in about 10 or 20 years from now, those guys will be a lot more respected than they are right now because people's in denial. I think, and don't get me wrong, I mean, let me tell you something. Ain't nobody loves more Joe Frazier than me, and Ali, and Mike Tyson. But I got to tell you the truth. I think they're freakish size men, and I think they get hung with the best of them in any era. And that goes to tag along with what we're here's a solution to that whole thing you're trying to ask me. Adamack could have fought Alexander Povetkin. You know, Joe Goffer, the names are out there, anybody. He just couldn't beat that Klitschko guy. That guy is the best. And I think Tomac will come back and do good. No one's going to beat those guys. They'll beat themselves. That's how good they are. When they get injuries, they can't do no more. The only anybody will beat them is themselves.
That was one thing that we were discussing on the show while leading into the fight. They always try to ask me to, if I have time to write a prediction on the fight, I will. If I have time to just do a verbal prediction, I generally do. And I try to, you know, match up strengths, weaknesses, styles, and all that, and just see what pops out of my little brain. And going into that fight, I said, I remember Adamack's fight. Rich and I actually did a live coverage on it on the show when he fought Steve Cunningham, who at the time was the Ring Magazine Cruiserweight Champion, the consensus number one guy. And I remember Steve, who was a very muscular guy, very, very great, very nice guy. We've interviewed Steve. I know Steve. I've talked to his wife. Steve is not a big-time puncher. And Steve was hitting him with right hands and lifting his feet off the ground. And that was a 200-pound man. I said, now, time that or add 40-some pounds to that, another 4 inches in height and leverage with a guy who is a natural right-hand puncher, I said, and Adamack does have the, he has a soft enough skin tissue that it will swell, it will cut. I said, it's going to be a stoppage late just from accumulated punishment. I said, he's got a great chin. I said, he might not go down. But
well,
the referee,
you saw that one. That was good.
And, Bobby, what do you think about the changes in boxing over the years since you've been involved in that sport, and what convinced you to stop boxing?
Well, you know, my pal, I'll tell you the doctor that I never stopped it. I love it. I just can't get a fight. I can't get a decent fight since the Adamack fight. And that's the doctor I've had since the Adamack fight. I've had 14 fights that I've held through. I don't mean call you up on a Monday and tell you, I mean train for them for 3 months and fell through. It's been really disheartening. I love boxing, man. You have no idea. I think it's
politics has ruined it. I think it's very, very corrupted. A lot of bad. I've been involved in fights, man. I should be a poster boy for controversial stoppages. I mean, I love it. It's the only sport that I love that it hates you back sometimes, you know. And to be honest with you, man, the bare knuckle boxing, the most important thing I want to do about it, I want to keep it clean.
Right.
See, I started the organization, me and Dave Filmon, and I don't want dirty promoters and managers and matchmakers getting involved. I want to make it a clean sport, you know, and that's, I love, don't get me wrong, I love boxing, but I don't like the state that it's in today.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest about it, guys. Finest referees in boxing. Now, think what I'm telling you. You guys are historians now. You know about boxing. Think about this tonight. The finest referees in boxing on any given night, if there's a mega buck money fight, they somehow forget how to referee. Now, the judges that night, too, they forget to take the prescription sunglasses over their glasses because they don't know the fight they watch. They can't judge it. Score. I mean, come on, brother. It's terrible.
Yeah. It's getting pretty bad with some of these fights.
I mean, I mean, we are the family, man, the people, when we get to sit and look at this stuff, guys, being done.
I seen it happen.
Hurting boxing.
You know, I've been out here in Vegas for a few months, and I went to a fight, a couple of fights, actually, at the new hotel, the Cosmopolitan, that were on ESPN Friday Night Fights. And, you know, I seen it live where referees make, you know, crappy decisions. And there was one shot where a guy got called for a low blow, and one of the Hispanic photographers came over and showed me his camera. He shows me the shot that the ref called foul, like above the guy's belt line.
Oh, my God.
So I've seen it happen, you know, and it's unfortunate. And, you know, you look at a sport like NFL, they got all these instant replay changes, and they adapt, you know, but it seems like boxing mm-hmm. doesn't go out of their way to change those things. And certainly doesn't address the business aspects of it, too, where these guys either refuse to fight for some reason or, you know, one...
You know what I see, too, guys, and you know yourself, but you guys are great guys. I do know your work, your show. But I got to tell you something. Why UFC, think about this, boys, why it's doing so good. You know why? Because they support one another tremendously. Even the PR guys... and the writers that write for their sites. Now, think about this. If a UFC fighter loses, always a great fighter, he'll be back. But let's go to boxing now. If a kid loses 20-0, oh, he's a bum. He is totally wiped away his 20 fights before. Boxing people don't support them no more like they used to years ago. Everybody's a writer now. They can write for Fight News and this and that and pass their opinion. And what they do, they start talking bad mouth from the fighters. But I got to tell you something, you know, anybody gets in that ring, even if it's an opponent on the art card of some local club show that nobody knows about, I respect that man from walking from that dressing room into that ring. It takes a lot of heart to do that. If he loses, I'm not going to knock him. If he wins, I'm going to shake his hand. People are too quick to jump on the bandwagon, putting everybody down.
Right. Now comparing
I learned back in my amateur days with Dr. Ken Cox at Lock Haven, who you know, was the head boxing coach there for years. And I remember, you know, would have his, you know, open you know, not audition, but not really tryout, but his open meeting every year, and you'd have about 30 to 40 kids that would come out, and these are guys that never really laced the gloves up before. And a couple of things that he would always say was, one thing would be, you know, I'm looking at my group of 40 right now. He goes, I have about 10 veterans and about 30 newcomers. He goes, I know what I got with my veterans. He goes, out of my newcomers, he goes, there's one or two of you that are really talented, and you don't even know it yet, but we're going to find out. He goes, but also, you know, it's going to take something inside of you, too. He goes, it's not always the talented guys that win it all. Sometimes it's the guys that are in the better shape, that want it more, that are willing, you know, to push themselves a little bit harder. And he goes, but anybody that's got the guts to walk up them steps, he goes, I've seen talented guys, because I've seen their blood turn to piss. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw a guy one time getting ready, he went back in the locker room, he came out, he
He had his robe on, his boots on, his gloves on. He went into the ring. Didn't have the clothes on. You know? Yeah, he completely just freaked out. It was anybody that's got, you know, the intestinal fortitude to get up there and to go up there, win or lose, you're already a winner.
That's right, man.
You know, looking at MMA, Bobby, what can you say is the big difference, you know, as far as the bare knuckle rules and mixed martial arts? For those people out there who think it's just, you know, a different form of MMA to have a bare knuckle boxing match.
Well, here's how you look at it, Big Gun. We had to do a modern the rules a lot since the 70s because, number one, it will be on, you know, pay-per-view. It's quite dangerous. Years ago, the rounds were on for 75, 80, 100 rounds. And we had to fix that, and we shortened the distance around. But here's the deal. People understand. When you're fighting bare-knuckle fights, I had so many of them all my life. I've been a little boy. It ain't like boxing. Like, you wrap my hand with gauze and tape. You put a 10-ounce glove on me. I feel like I could punch a door right off the hinges. So you take that away, my glove, my hand, I feel like I'm going to break my hand. So I'm going to take my shots more. I'm going to put a lot more body shots. Understand, I've seen maybe 500 bare-knuckle fights in my lifetime in person. Involve them. Never at one time see anybody took to the hospital or someone took away in a stretcher. I've seen fighters die in the ring in front of boxers. Every year, under the ABC rules and special no fighters dying. Now, here's the difference. Stand up, it's exciting. When you guys are watching MMA, be honest. Don't you more excited when Chuck Liddell and those guys are standing up and striking? So they go on the ground, they're doing arm bars, it gets a little warm. People like to see the original gladiator stand and fighting. So that's what we're bringing, the bare knuckle boxing part of it. The truthfully, guys, it's a lot more safer than people think it is. It sounds more gruesome. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you want to shatter your hand by punching me in the face, or are you going to take your shot?
I've broken fingers from punching people without gloves on.
There. There, guys. So you know yourself, experience. You're going to pick your shot, ain't you? You're not going to go like a madman.
Right.
So there, especially if it's an organized event. I mean, if you're sitting in a bar and someone attacks you, you don't care. But if you're going in an organized event and someone's standing in front of you boxing, you're going to pick your shots and do it the right way. Now, MMA, guys, elbow, the headbutt, it can choke you out. I mean, it can squeeze your throat muscles, your Adam's apple, your whole system could collapse.
Right.
And me, being involved, my brother Anderson, I've had over 60 bare-knuckle fights. I've had maybe 100 street fights. Had guys, you know, try to squeeze my head off. Had guys try to bite my ear and nose. I bit ears and nose off myself, man, in street fights. Back alleys. I know what it is, the gruesome part, how dangerous it can be. But boxing, knuckle boxing, it was safer. I never had no injuries in bare knuckle fighting.
Right. That's definitely believable. I mean, you know, you consider these MMA guys, they're hitting each other with elbows and knees and kicks. And just a much more devastating type of strikes, especially when you get somebody's point of an elbow or point of a knee on a forehead area where the skin is really thin. And a lot of those guys, actually, the jury is still out on how safe that sport is. They go around talking about how they don't have a death in that sport. But there was a couple studies done years ago when it first started coming about where they noticed that there was actually more concussions per capita, per fight in MMA than compared to boxing. Because what you have there is you have the fight damage. You know, one fight at a time, you get damaged. That's why you see a ton of these UFC guys always pulling out of fights, you know, for training injuries. You know, you hear it every now and then.
You know something too, my pal? Whatever fight sport it is, you got to tell it to them. Whatever it is, it's always going to be dangerous. You could go and play baseball in the backyard today, and you could be dangerous. You're not guaranteed nothing. There's no guarantee. You're nothing in life. You could walk into the 7-Eleven, you could get hit by a car. Nothing. You're not guaranteed.
Yeah, there was actually a kid in my high school when I was on the wrestling team. We come back from a meet, and come to find out the kid was in the arch-rival hockey game against our rival school there, and he checked by an opposing player and died right on the ice.
God bless us. I know. I believe me. I know what can happen. A heartbeat. There's a dangerous one. I think that's dangerous in football.
Yeah.
More than modern, you know?
Yeah.
I was just a few weeks ago. I was at work. I work, you know, inside in an office on the other side. When on my free time, I train young kids and I try to, you know, help anybody, you know, that, you know, wants to get involved and learn the. They want to learn boxing. I said I had an offer to teach boxing at like an MMA studio because they wanted to teach the guy striking, but they wanted to tell me how to train the guys. I said no. I'm the boxing guy here. So you're a grappling and a jiu-jitsu guy. You don't tell me how to train people. Well, we want you to do it this way. I said, that way is wrong. So we got into an argument. I walked out of there. Then I had a couple other places. They're like, well, do you do box aerobics? No. I said, I am a school guy. I said, I might only be 32 years old, but I said, in boxing terms, I'm like Mickey Goldman. I am an old, old school guy. And so when I train kids now, I mean,
all right, folks, we're finally back. Sorry about that interruption there. It's another Skype issue going on. We got to deal with for now. Should be nipped in the bud by this time next week. So, again, we apologize. We're going to try to hook this right back up with Bobby and Tony and get the show back on the road once again. Here's Tony. Here's Bobby. You there?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What happened?
Oh, it went haywire and it wouldn't fix itself when it came. Trying to sign out and sign back in again. I had to reset the whole entire computer to fix it. Skype's up.
Oh, you know what? If they call me back, they call me back.
Hopefully, Bobby. Here.
He's not all. I mean, I can understand
rule 1-362-1939. Please leave your name and number and the reason why you're calling. We'll have someone get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message.
There should be no more delays. That's it.
Hello. You've reached 201-362-1939. Please leave your name, number, and the reason why you're calling. We'll have someone get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hey, Bobby. It's Rich and Tony here. We had a little screw up with this Skype system, and it's been updated and fixed and corrected, so we'd like to get you on within the next 20 minutes to at least wrap up the interview and call it a night. We only got 20 minutes left in the show anyway, so we'll try again in a couple minutes, and then hopefully it works. So, in the meantime, I don't know. What can we chat about here?
Well, I'd like to talk about the Sergio Martinez fight. You know, it's coming up this weekend. It was unfortunate tonight, you know, that we, you know, we had the, you know, technical difficulties. I thought the interview with Bobby was, you know, going very well. You know, he's very much an athlete, very much a gentleman. You can tell just by talking to the guy that, you know, not only does he care about, you know, the sport, whether it's boxing or it's, he's now involved in bare-knuckle boxing, but he takes a character interest into, you know, other people in the sport, guys that he's fought, you know. You know, it's easy to say, you know, I fought so-and-so, and especially because he lost the fight to 10 months out of that. It's easy to say, you lost the fight to that guy and, kind of have a little bit of hard feelings, I mean, even though it is a, a sanctioned contest, he is a guy that, had beaten you. But you get the opposite because he's sitting there saying how much he, respected the guy, he liked the guy, considered him a friend. Same thing with Rich Stewart, who he fought in the bare knuckle fight. So, I mean, I really enjoyed talking to him. Like I said, it was a shame that we had the technical problems. I would like to quickly discuss the HBO fight that we're going to see this weekend, Sergio Martinez against Darren Baker, I believe his name is, European titleist. Nobody knows much about, Baker. Martinez is obviously your marquee guy now. He's a top 5 pound for pound fighter, fresh over a couple impressive wins, Kelly Pavlik, then a stunning knockout of Paul Williams. This is maybe a showcase to keep Martinez's name out there. And one name that he's recently been linked to, which I think it probably won't happen because as he is now full, but I've heard the name Floyd Mayweather kicked around a little bit.
Yeah. Well, actually, there's a book of Mayweather versus Guerrero once he heals from his rotator cuff situation. We don't know if the Maidana fight's going to go forward. We actually have a Golden Boy putting on a welterweight tournament. Have you heard? Tony?
What?
You heard about the welterweight tournament they're talking about with
Boy? I did not hear about them.
They were the other day about Robert Guerrero, whatever from the city. And he ended up mentioning Boy talking about a tournament like similar six, but a single elimination with the welterweights. So I don't know if it's going to happen. They're talking about it, and it's going to have to be a little bit different from the Super Six with all their issues there. They just had another situation with Andre Ward getting cut. That was on the blog.
Yeah, I got this week.
Let me just, Bobby, one last shout out, see if we can get him on. And then we'll see what else we got for boxing coming up this week. We don't get him. We don't get him. Third time's the charm. Fifth time. All right, well, Bobby Gunn is out of the picture, I guess. He's going to be in New York City at this premiere of the movie Knuckles tomorrow. And maybe we can get him on another time, a few weeks from now, maybe just before his fight in February next year. But we'll quickly make it up to him. I know that we can, it's good side again, because his contact with us is none other than Matt Yanofsky, who's one of our old buddies here, who's one of the youngest talking guys in the PR game at this point.
Yeah. Matt cracks me.
Bobby Gunn, we got to talk to him a little bit about some boxing here and there, and this bare knuckle boxing situation. It's interesting. It's the first time I heard him mention, or anybody mention, that there's possibility of having these this next fight somewhere in the United States. So that tells something more about the whole stuff over whether it's legal or not. There or maybe California, I guess, but keep an eye out on the website and we'll keep everybody informed as to what's going on there. We'll get the publicity, we'll let you know. And unfortunately, even though we couldn't get to him tonight, we will definitely work to reschedule something so that it's close. Bobby Dunn. Than the real guy behind Tommy Gunn.
Yeah.
The character. I sent you that picture there. He got pretty messed up. Tommy Morrison. All right, well, we're going to check the boxing schedule for this upcoming week. You had mentioned the one card there. We're going to see in our last few minutes here what else we got coming up. For the big title fights this weekend. Go to our trusty Box Rec list. See what we come up with. Going on with this session. He's from the Philadelphia area there. You're going to her show.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. If anybody who's in the Philadelphia area tomorrow night, got nothing much to do. I'm going out, Matt Tasson, National Guard Armory, down in Northeast Philadelphia. Going to be in a cutting card, a young girl putting on her first card, Brittany Rogers, for BAM Productions. 22 years old. We're going to get her on our show in a few weeks. We tried to get her on for tonight, but obviously tonight was the weigh-in, so a little bit busy. We're going to put on the first card. She's been a student of Russell Peltz. So when you're getting mentored by a guy like Russell Peltz, that can only be a good thing. The guy's a Hall of Famer for a reason. Put together a lot of great fight cards. Should be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. I got one of my student fighters on with me tomorrow night. Of course, the mainstay at all the foot cards I go into will be there. That's me and my father. He and I are going to ride down together. I'm going to make him drive because I'll get lost and wouldn't get us there for about 3 days. We're going to go down. I got my camera pass. So it should be a good night of boxing.
All right. Well, I'm just checking out things here on BoxRec, and I don't see a whole lot jumping out. Well, there are a ton of fights going on around the world on Friday. It's the first time I couldn't even find Saturday on the first page here. Let's see. We got a good one over in London on Friday from Your Call. Super Featherweight's Liam Walsh, 17-2 with 11 knockouts. And for the Commonwealth Super Featherweight title. And also light middleweight Ryan Toms, undefeated at 9-0, with 4 knockouts, fighting Steve O'Meara, who's 13-2 with 2 knockouts. And here's some hardy records. Third fight here, light welterweight Peter McDonough, 16-21 with 2 knockout wins, and he's fighting Johnny Greaves, who's 3-67 with 1 knockout.
Wow.
3-67. It's funny. We had a mistypo in one of the stories that went up on the blog today. And the guy's record was supposed to be 19-2-1. And the PR guy put it out there as 19-102. 19 wins and 102 losses. 102 losses. He made sure to correct people as soon as possible. We had a Golden Boy Promotions card actually being put on out in Costa Mesa, California on Friday. And it's going to be on Tom Futura. The main event there is light welterweight's Luis Ramos Jr., 19-0 with 8 knockouts, letting Dave Rubella, who is 15-4 with 3 draws and 6 knockout wins. And the co-main event looks a little bit more interesting. That's a super featherweight fight between Ronnie Rios, 15-0 with 7 knockouts, and Roger Gonzalez, who's 27-4 with 18 knockouts. We got Ali Chiba fighting him, too, on a Gary Shaw Bella card. It's at the Chumas Casino. It's going to be on Showtime. Jose Alusagun, who's 29-0 with 14 knockouts at light welterweight, and I've never heard of him, is fighting Ali Chiba, who's 35-1 with 28 knockouts, and has one of the most interesting names in boxing, I think.
Well, it's one of our favorites.
Exactly. It's at the 12-round light welterweight fight, too. The lightweight 10-rounder co-main event is Darley Perez, 22-0 with 17 knockouts, fighting Oscar Meza, who's 22-4 with 18 knockouts. Pretty interesting card. And that fight that you're going at the National Armory, it's right here tomorrow. Ray Robinson is the main event there, the new Ray Robinson, who's
not the original.
11-2, 4 knockouts.
I've covered him fighting before. He's good young prospect.
And he's fighting Manuel Guzman, who's 7-12 with 2 draws and 3 knockout wins.
Who I've also covered before.
And sort of a interesting fight at light middleweight. A 6-rounder is the co-main event, I guess. Julian Williams, who's 7-0-1 with 4 knockouts, fighting Humberto Medina, who's 5-6 with 1 draw, 1 knockout win. And then we finally get to Saturday. We got fights in Cambodia, Croatia, Montreal, everywhere. Actually, there's a pretty decent team fight, too, in France. 10-round welterweights, 2-minute rounds. Anne-Sophie Mathis, 24-1 with 21 knockout wins, fighting Cindy Serrano, who was 15-3-2 with 7 knockout wins. That's for the WIBA welterweight title, the WIBF welterweight title, and the World Boxing Federation female welterweight title. That's a lot of titles for one female fight there. And that's pretty much the biggest one on the card. We got Steve Cunningham, speak of the devil. And he's fighting over in Germany. He's 24-2 with 12 knockouts. He's fighting Leon Pablo Hernandez, who's 24-1 with 13 knockouts. And it's for the IBF Cruiserweight title, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It's a title fight for him.
That's probably thanks.
For your boy.
Yeah.
Geez, it's surprising this isn't going to be on HBO or Showtime, because we're getting some incredible backup fights to this one. All 12-rounders, the top 3 fights there. In addition to this cruiserweight showdown, we got a middleweight fight between Sebastian Sylvester, 34-4 with 16 knockouts, 1 draw, fighting Grigor Proska, who's 25-0, 18 knockouts, and that's for the EU middleweight title. It's most vacant at the moment. We also have a light heavyweight 12-rounder between Caro Marat, who's 24-1 with 14 knockouts, fighting Gabriel Campillo, 21-3 with 8 knockouts, and that's for the IBF Intercontinental Light Heavyweight title. So there you have it. Interesting lineup there for a fight. And everything we get to see highlight both. Damn it. We got a fight down there in Puebla on Saturday. Light flyweight Sam Tierra is 29-6 with 20 knockouts, 2 draws. Fighting Orlo Goda is 12-6 with 4 knockouts. That's for the vacant WBC light flyweight title. Not to be confused, the gold title, which doesn't exist, I think. It's just the real title of the title, right? There's the gold title. I've never seen that.
So, before our show ends, I would like to, get your support for my Philadelphia Phillies in the World Series now.
Yeah, now they don't have the Red Sox to root for. Why not?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Go Phillies.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I should have an article for you probably Sunday. That'll be the results from. When I get home tomorrow night, I'll just send you a quick email with, the quick hit, Ray Rodgers, however that fight ends up, and then just the quick stuff like that, and then I'll write, a full article probably on Sunday.
All right. While we got a couple of minutes here, I did want to mention there's another card down in Puerto Rico on Saturday that's fights here. We got Jonathan Oquendo versus Jose Luis Araiza for bantamweight. Oquendo's 21-2 with 14 knockouts. Araiza's 29-4 with 20 knockouts. We got Juan Manuel Lopez, 30-1, 27 knockouts at featherweight, fighting Mike Oliver, who's trained by our old buddy John Felly. He's 25-2 with 8 knockouts. That's a vacant WBO Latino featherweight title, so that's going to be kind of funny if Oliver wins, seeing as African American. But then we got Roman Martinez at featherweight. He's 24-1 with 15 knockouts, fighting Daniel Atta, who's 26-7 with the knockouts. And that pretty much does it. There's a few more fights if you want to check them out on BoxRec.com all over the world on Saturday. It's pretty much a big day for boxing anywhere you go, I think. But until next week, we're going to have to sign off, and we'll try to reschedule Bobby Gunn. We apologize to anybody who got cut off listening to that big interview there. And we'll make it up.
Next week, everybody. It's your boy the Tornado, and I'm out.